Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Hello, and thank you for joining me today. Today's show is my conversations with Carol, and what that means is that there's no specific topic. I'm just going to be answering questions, we're going to be chatting, and I'm going to be sharing my medical intuitive skills with you. If you have a question about health, we can talk about literally anything. We can talk about relationships, we can talk about personality, we can talk about decisions that you're making. This is such a glorious time in the time of the year for us to be able to reflect about all the changes and everything that we've done the first year. We can talk about the energy shifts that are taking place. We can talk about 2011. Anything that you would like to talk about, it's just an open mic and open dialogue today. I love these shows and all the feedback I get from the listeners. I hope you do too. So what that means is I'm going to be taking your calls. And in order to do that, I'm going to invite you to call 877-230-3062. Again, that's 877-230-3062. And that number is good in the United States and Canada, as well as international callers. You'll just need to dial your international calling code and then 877-230-3062. So it is just going to be a day of chat. So if you need to, grab some water, grab a cup of tea, grab a cup of coffee, and let's sit down and just have a conversation. I'd also like to remind you that I do have a teleclass that's going to be happening September 30th. That's tomorrow evening at 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And the class, that teleclass that I'm doing this month, is on prostate cancer. September is prostate cancer awareness month. So I'm going to be featuring that particular topic, what I do in the teleclasses. By the way, it's 60 minutes in length. What I do in the teleclasses is I look at prostate cancer from a clinical standpoint, a general description of it. Then also from a psychological aspect of it, there's always hidden meanings or suppressed emotions or events in our life that really created some of that stress associated with a situation that ultimately turns into an illness in the body if it's continued to be suppressed or continued to be fed and fueled by our fears and our insecurities. That's one of the things as a medical intuitive. When I look at something in the body, I just don't look at it in the physical body. I look for those emotional undertones, those emotional contributors, and then also core themes and beliefs that you may have, that mental component that drives a lot of our habits and our lifestyle, our perception of ourselves, which is really, if we're irritated with ourselves, there's a real good chance we're going to have inflammation in the physical body. And then also, I look at it from the standpoint of energy. What does it look like in the field? And then also the chakra system. One of the beautiful things about energy and chakras is that when you go to a doctor, you go to a doctor because you've recognized a symptom that's occurring in the body. But the energy field is so exquisite, it will literally tell you where the origin site is, then where will you have the symptoms, and then what I call secondary symptoms. So it's beautiful in the way that it actually maps itself in the chakra system. And not only do I look at conventional therapies that are available, the traditional way that allopathic medicine will go to approach the curing of an illness, but I also offer a laundry list of alternative choices, some of them new, some of them controversial, some of them that we know from ancient times has always served us well. They may not make blind studies and be able to work with it, but just an entire holistic perspective, a psycho-spiritual perspective of what illness is about. So tomorrow night, September 30th at 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, I'm going to be talking about prostate cancer. And then what I'm going to do is after the call, I usually stay on, or the teleclass, I usually stay on 20 to 30 minutes, and I actually answer questions just like I'm doing with my conversations with Carol. If you're interested in registering, the teleclass is free. The only cost will be any long-distance calls, if that's what's tied to your phone service. But it's 60 minutes in length. It is a free teleclass. And if you're interested in registering, you can go to my website, www.ritberger.com. If you yourself aren't dealing with prostate issues, or maybe you have a husband or a father or a brother or an uncle or a grandfather, whoever is, then you might want to tell them about the teleclass. And again, they can register on www.ritberger.com. Well, I want, to start this, the show off by just talking about a little bit of the energy shifts that we've been going through. I've had a lot of people emailing me, and I happened to be in North Carolina last week, and I had a lot of people ask me, what is going on with this crazy energy and how is this weather being affected by it? Well, there is a science that has been actually been in the process for quite a while. We don't hear much about it, called heliobiology. And what this science does is that then the research actually looks at the impact of weather changes, planetary alignments, barometric pressure changes associated with weather, and how it affects our energy field. And where we are right now is that we are in a preparation time, preparation for 2011. And as in that preparation, the first thing that we always do in preparation is we have to go and look at where we've been, which is what we do at the beginning of 2010. We went in and said, okay, what in my day do I want to change? What in my life do I want to change? And then from January, really until July, we start the process of creating those, that change. And then a lot of times, change that we set in place the year before and started in that movement actually gets finished and completed in the year. So the first part of the year, really about the first 7 months, are all about that. What do we want to change? And it really sets off that personal growth and kind of that cleansing and detoxing of the things in our life that could ultimately be very heavy in our body and really heavy on our mind and also heavy in our heart. And then August is kind of that transitional month where we're not really summer, but we're not really fall, meaning that we're done with a lot of the things that we started in the change, that changes that we wanted to make. And then we completed a lot in this year. We completed other things from last year or the year before or 5 years before. And we're kind of in that transitional time where it's a good chance for us to just basically pause, take a deep breath, and get ready for the momentum of the fall. The fall itself is when we're going in and we really start to reflect on the things that we have done, and we really start to benefit and enjoy the fruits of our labor. It's a real light time. It's a very joyful time. It's the time where things just seem to kind of get to that point and that peak, whether it's in the fall colors, or I live near in California where we have something called Apple Hill. It's a great event where the apples start to, you know, are being ripe enough that they're being picked, and it's a great, glorious time. There's Oktoberfest in the preparation, just a lot of events that take place. So in September, what we do is we really go in and we look at what we have done. And that's when we give ourselves the attaboys, good job, look at what you've done. But it also, in the undercurrents of that energy, it goes in and it starts this momentum in preparation for winter. In that winter process, what we do is then we go into the ebb of life. Right now, in the first part of the year, is the flow of life. August is kind of like that transition time. September starts the process of the ebb of life and its cycles and everything. In that ebb time, it's the time for us to reflect. It's the time for us to look at what we want to work on or desire to change in 2011. And that's what this preparation is all about. And then, of course, as we get closer into the winter months and we get close to the winter solstice and so forth, then what we're going to do is all of the seeds that you're planting now while you're joyfully looking at all the things and celebrating what you've done, the seeds you're planting are the seeds that are going to be below the surface that are going to start to germinate and incubate and be able to really start that growth process and that momentum, even though it's at ebb and it seems like a quiet, almost like running in molasses phase, as I call it, because there isn't that obvious conscious forward movement that we're really in, but it's the time for us to plant the seeds for next year's harvest that will begin again in the fall. So the, some of the things that I found is that as fall kicks off, it's a real good time for you to be very, you know, joyful of the things that you've done. Instead of looking at all the things you didn't do, look at all the things that you really want to do. And in that process, in this shift of consciousness, this shift of energy, in this particular time through September, and then all the way till about November 16th, you're going to have a lot of highs and lows. It'll be, feel like sometimes you're on a little child roller coaster ride at the circus, and then other times you're on the demon. It doesn't make any difference. It's just highs and lows. The only difference will be how high are the highs and how low are the lows. When you find yourself in the next few months really maybe struggling with things, struggling with people in your life, struggling to find out which direction you want to go, struggling with a situation, dealing with difficult people, whatever it may be, the best thing that you can do when you hit that place and maybe you feel down, which is depressed energy, which means that you're in the lull part of it, then what you want to do is just learn to give yourself an affirmation, rise above. Something as simple as that, when you get down in the doldrums or you're feeling like you just can't get yourself from, you know, out of this hole that maybe you've been dug, that you've been put in or you've dug yourself into, whatever it may be, no judgment. This isn't, the energy is never about judgment. The universe does not judge us. It's only our own human mind and what we've been conditioned to believe that judges us. So when you get into a place where it seems untenable or it's just draining you or of energy or you feel compromised, rise above. And then as you rise above, you say rise above, and then you lighten up, and then you say rise above, and you say rise above as often as you need and as many times as you need to be able to literally rise above the situation. And when you do that, you see the situation differently. You see a person differently or their behavior differently. That still doesn't mean that maybe their behavior is acceptable, but it emotionally releases you by rising above from the situation. So you're no longer caught in the quagmire of those emotions that are negatively charged. So rise above, different point of view, different opportunities, different options, different way of seeing things, and it makes it much easier for you. The next thing is when you find yourself, sometimes in relationships, we find ourselves like a deer in headlights. When we find that, then what we want to do is take a deep breath, and then again we can say, is it mine, is it theirs? Now this isn't blaming, but it's allowing the soul to say to you very straightforward, very forthright, if this is yours, your soul's going to say, this is yours. And it's going to follow up with, what can you, we, learn from this? And then rise above, and then you can see what changes can be made. If it's someone else's, your soul's going to say it's theirs. And if it's theirs, it's your responsibility to be engaged in life, but it isn't your responsibility to carry someone else's responsibility. If it's theirs, then step back, rise above, and then allow that person to be able to work with through whatever they need without you being caught up in their dynamics. When our buttons get pushed, that is a way that our soul says, reality check, is this mine, meaning yours, or is it theirs? If it's theirs, it's their work, it's what they came here to do, and you in your position can be an observer. Or what you can do is you can continue to get caught in the fray and feel like you're a deer in headlights. So again, is it mine? Is it theirs? So those are the things. Rise above, and rise above as much as you need. Is it mine? Is it theirs? If it's theirs, rise above and allow them to work through it however they need. After all, that is their work, their mastery in that they came here to do. And it is not your place to carry their burden of responsibility to make their load lighter. But this does not mean that you do not care for them or love them. It just means you don't have to shoulder the responsibility. The metaphor in shoulder pain and discomfort in the neck and the shoulders for me as a medical intuitive is you're carrying the weight of the world or other people's burdens on your shoulder. Just flick it off. Put it in a healing bag, energetic healing bag, and let it go. So that's some of the energy that we're looking at, those highs and lows. This is part of the cycle in order for us to get to the place where we can cleanse out, do everything we need, detox all these emotions, and then prepare ourselves for the winter months when those seeds that we're planting now are really going to start coming into that germination stage. And lo and behold, in the spring, they're going to pop their head up, and then we're going to be able to see them in their beautiful new light, and then the process starts again. Everything is cycles. Everything is ebbs. Everything is flows. When it's in the ebb, reflect. When it flows, go. So, little bit of energy update on the things that are going on. Let's go ahead and jump in. Hi, Jill from New Jersey. How can I help you?
Hello?
Hi, Jill. How are you, sweetie?
I'm good. It's so delightful to be on the call. Thank you.
My pleasure. How can I help you, hon?
Two questions I have. I have impressively high cholesterol, like in the low 400s, and
okay.
That's genetic. I know I have inflammation in the body. My eosinophils were, I think that's how you say it, were mm-hmm. at 2,500 something, and I think they should be 50.
Correct.
And I also am suffering from this summer I picked up a stomach flu from my grandchildren, and for me, the intestinal effects of that lasted for a month and are still lingering. I had the same thing, but from the year before, also in July, which I know that you said was the time of purging. I took it very seriously in 2 years in a row.
Well, you know, I say this with love, honey, but whatever it takes to get rid of it, let's go for it.
Well, yes, but there must be an end to this. No pun intended. All good things must come to an end, and I mean in a different way.
That's true. I can hallelujah to that one, huh?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So, one of the things is that, first of all, you do know, and I will validate because it's the best place to start, that cholesterol is a genetic predisposition. However, the genetic predisposition isn't so much for the elevated cholesterol as it is for the fact that your body, by nature, does not make the good HDL, but the most important thing is it's inflammation. And all of the things that you're working with from the cholesterol, honey, is inflammation. What is irritating you? I can take this on any level. I can take it to the physical part from the standpoint that it feels like your body is overreactive in the digestive system. You're very, very acidic. And what that will do is it will allow candida to be able to surface and to thrive. If you get any kind of parasites or you get any kind of virus that is going to remain active in your body, it can only remain active in an acidic body. So a couple of things that you can do from that standpoint is that your body is reading a lot of foods. Now, I know that's a melodramatic word, but it's reading a lot of things, foods that you're putting in your mouth as an allergen and a pathogen. And as a result, the immune system has got a chronic inflammation response, an inflammatory response. And what that's doing in the case of the cholesterol and some of the other things is it just takes the blood vessels in the body, the digestive system, the small intestine it makes them more hard. They're more rigid. They don't have that flexibility. So the first thing that I can do is I can go in is that anything you put in your mouth, you ask your body, is this healthy for me? And if it says no, sweetie, don't put it in your mouth.
Okay.
I mean, it's something as simple as that. The body talks to us. It can tell us if we're having cravings. The body is telling us that we're not metabolizing glucose, so we're going to naturally go for things that are going to give us the energy. But 99.9% of all things we put in our mouth that give us that instant hit are acidic. So everything for the first, 15, 30 days that we're going to do this, everything you go to put in your mouth, is this healthy for my body? That's your question. And if you get a no, then substitutes. That's the next part of it, is to find things that you can do to substitute. Alkalize, alkalize, alkalize. I was back in Virginia Beach this weekend, and I went to the Edgar Cayce Institute. I always love to go hang out in the library with all of his wonderful readings that he did, that Gladys literally wrote and transcribed and everything. And one of the things consistently in Cayce's readings was alkalize, alkalize, alkalize. viruses, parasites, mutated cells cannot grow in an alkaline body. What you can do in order to be able to help your body is that you can go in this alkalizing. You want to eat a rainbow diet, red, orange, yellow, and greens. Greens, first of all. The darker the green, the healthier it'll be for your liver. That will help your liver. And it's a waste management plant. It will help it in the unhealthy LDL. It will change the triglycerides. The other thing is, do you eat meat, sweetie?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to say something you will rarely hear me say. Red meat should be avoided for you.
Okay.
And the reason for that is red meat is a source of protein. We need protein, but in your particular case, your gallbladder does not work with the animal fat the way it needs, and I think that's compounding some of the inflammation in your body. So you can look at doing free-range poultry as clean as possible. Stay away from things that are, you know, genetically modified or things that have any kind of hormones in them at all, or have any kind of antibiotics or anything, because the way that they're produced or anything, that you want to stay away from all that. Fish, I pick up fatty acids. Fish oil would be worthwhile. Vitamin E would be worthwhile. Also, for some reason, pumpkin seed oil. I don't know. I rarely get that. Do you like pumpkins? So do you like pumpkin seeds or something?
No.
Yeah,
I got
pumpkin seed oil and flaxseed oil. Those are the things that will help your body to be able to maintain itself. There's plenty of things that you can do. Interesting enough, I got the okay that your body could eat lamb if you do, were inclined to do that. Fish, cold water fish, complex carbohydrates, alkaline, and that would be able to help you. The diarrhea itself feels like it's, we joked about the purging part of it. Absolutely so. But if you go back the year before you had physical diarrhea, you were in a lot of purging in your life at that time and letting go of a lot. What you can do now is go in and visit and say, you know, I've let this go. I don't have to continue to use the process of diarrhea in order to be able to eliminate.
I had a ovarian cyst removed 2 summers ago, and I think it was benign, and had been there a long time working, and then I think it was the drugs that set it off too. So it was a combination.
It is. Absolutely, and the drugs, most honestly, the drugs that we take, prescription drugs, are acidic. Rarely will I find a prescription drug that even has enough alkaline, either energy or components within it that actually will create an alkaline situation. When we do that, it throws the pH off in the small intestine. That throws the pH off in the immune system. The immune system then goes into a hypervigilant inflammatory reaction to things because it's trying to figure it out. It also creates a pH imbalance in the blood. That can then create a pH imbalance in the cerebral spinal fluid. It can be the source of headaches. It can be fuzzy thinking. It can be loss of episodic memory, short-term memory. So the best thing to do is, say it another way. Now I'll take it to the next level. Have you done my, let me ask a question. Have you done my personality assessment?
No.
Okay.
I've read it, but I haven't done it.
Okay. You might want to do it. And okay. The reason for that is that what you're living in your personality, in the conditioning that you have, isn't even who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, if you can find that heart connection within you, then that second chakra, small intestine, which is part of the diarrhea dynamics between the liver and the small intestine, you'll mm-hmm. find that you can live your life differently. And you won't be as prone to be the caretaker of others and carrying their, what is the word I want? You have one daughter that just popped in. Oh my God, she is a love. She is an absolute love. Sweetie, is she in a distress situation, a relationship?
Yes.
Okay. Honey, this is her work. You can't carry this.
Okay.
She is a beautiful, beautiful, naive, innocent, angelic crystal that is here gracing this earth. And you as Mama Bear want to protect her. And mm-hmm. you can love her, you can be there, but you can't protect her from this. Her relationship is one that she needs to work through herself. Please let that go in your second chakra. It puts you in a place where you aren't your beautiful, lighthearted, fun-loving, cheerful, joyful personality that I feel that you are.
Okay,
so now your soul said, whoa, okay, let's lighten this up a little bit, Carol Reitberger. So let's go here. Anytime you find yourself getting pulled down into lower energy, rise above.
Yep.
Is it mine? Is it theirs?
Right.
Your body just said, I need to give you one more thing. So let me take a deep breath and it says that part of the alkalizing that you can do is the use of aloe juice. It will cool your gut, and it will restore the homeostasis in the pH in your small intestine.
Okay.
And then you'll be able to utilize the food more effectively, and you should be able to have more energy.
Okay. And I'm currently not taking statins for my high cholesterol, but I... Mm-hmm. probably should be, according to the Western medicine. But what does my body say to that? Because I had taken them and they scared me. I couldn't even open a jar.
Yeah. Okay, so, you know, I have this, I'm not anti-doctor if you've listened to me, or anti-medicine, but I can tell you, if you don't trust the doctor, the pills don't work. So.
Interesting.
One of the things to do is I would encourage you to go and work with a naturopath. You might want to go in, and you might also want to look at a homeopath. You definitely want to work with a nutritionist. Then the other part of it is that it feels like when you get in this role where you become the caretaker versus the cheerleader, that you get burdened with the emotional components of it, and you don't feel like you're as agile or as much movement as your body needs. Do you do a treadmill or an elliptical or a walk or anything?
No. Okay. I walk a lot. I don't do anything organized.
Okay. When you walk, set the intention that you're going to walk. Don't saunter from one place to the other or use around the house. Literally, it would be very good for you to just go out for a walk and get a different change of scenery. That will be able to help you. The other thing that you might want to look at is hydrotherapy, working in a pool, doing, water aerobics or something like that. It'll take a lot of the pressure off of the joints that I'm picking up with the inflammation and so forth. That would, could work for you as well.
Super. Thank you.
You are so welcome. Thank you so much for calling me. Okay, let's go ahead and squeeze one more in. Hi, Barbara from St. Paul, Minnesota. How are you?
Hi, I'm good, Carol. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure. How can I help you?
Well, so far, everything's helped me so far.
I'm funny how that works, isn't it?
Yeah. Perfect. I'm taking notes. I'm a green, so relationship harmony is important to me. Probably as it is for all colors, but I've had a rough few years, and I need some guidance in that area.
All right. So let's do a little bit. Oranges live and die by their relationships. If the relationship is good, they're good. If it's bad, they're bad. Greens are similar, but not the same. Greens are, if it's really bad, they're going to start looking for other relationships. That's a very healthy thing for them to do, not necessarily meaning to go out and be promiscuous or do anything else or go against values. But with the green, if a relationship gets really suppressive, what they will do is they will look for outside activities or friends or situations to be able to fill those needs that aren't being met in the relationship itself. The relationship itself, gosh, boy, are you a courageous soul. Woo! When I just touched you, you surround yourself with logical, linear people, don't you, honey?
What? I'm not having as much fun as I'm supposed to, but.
No, you're not. I mean, oh my gosh. When I look at work and I look at the people around you, all I see is a whole bunch of reds. And then I'll see a smithering of greens every so often, lots of yellows. The relationship that you're within a relationship that is an opposite of you. And you know, it's almost, sweetie, like we're going to either have to do a lobotomy on this person or on you.
Right.
But the reality of it is that if you can remember what you bring to the relationship is lightheartedness, you do have a lightheartedness about you, and that you have grown up to the point in your evolution of self-development that, you know what, you're beginning to say what you need to say. All of those things are gifts to help the other person move beyond where they are. That person feels like they're beginning to turn into a slightly bit of an orange and not quite as rough on the edges. Is that accurate?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, that is the result of them being with you. Please understand that their brain sees things linear, black and white. What you see is what you get. Your personality is such that there are always possibilities, and what you see is not necessarily real. So you will always look beyond the obvious. The thing that you get caught up in is that you read nonverbal clues, and this other person reads only through the five physical senses. If your instincts through nonverbal clues tell you that there's a potential conflict brewing on the horizon, then nip it in the bud before it happens. Can you do that?
Yeah, I think I can.
Okay, so good. You went from your heart to your head. That's mindfulness. Think about what you need to do. It's almost like doing a dress rehearsal. When you get the deer in headlights syndrome that seems to happen often, then what you want to do is you want to rehearse what you're going to do should you get caught in that situation. Or you can nip it in the bud before it starts. When your instincts tell you that something is not feeling right to you in your relationship, then bring it up. If the person doesn't want to hear about it, bring it up. If the person avoids it, bring it up. If you can do that, the person has an opportunity to learn and to find value in the process. And then you have an opportunity to not become the deer in headlights.
Okay. So I don't have to throw everything out and start over.
No, because you have a soul contract. You have a soul agreement with this person. The irony that I'm picking up with it, and probably the confusion, is that, sweetie, you try to show this person their archetypal strengths. You sing their praises. They have a pre-birth agreement with you. That means that it's fickle, it's unpredictable, and you're not in control of it at all. And when it happens and it goes sideways on you, when you think that you're doing everything right, or you feel in your heart that nothing, you know, you can't connect the dots as to what's happening, it makes you feel terrible. I started the show by saying, is it mine? Is it theirs? When that occurs, if you ask that question and you listen to your soul, you will be surprised how many times it will tell you that is theirs. And then you have the opportunity to decide whether you want to engage or not. This person is at a fork in the road. And in this particular place, there's a lot of pressures within this person that, frankly, are self-created. But the bottom line of it is that this person is in a fork in the road. And there's nothing that you can do to change the situation. But you cannot compromise who you are in the process.
Okay. I'm physically, that's what sometimes I get twinges, and I think sort of my second chakra area, and I don't know if that's my sign that I'm compromising or.
Okay, so let's do that. Gosh, you're just exquisite the way you send to me. So anytime you get the twinges in the second chakra, you're not who you are. So I'm going to give you a gift, and I hope you see it that way. Your mother. Your mother's a fabulous person. She's a different personality. She's not you. You were conditioned to learn that if you were more like your mother, then you would be accepted and you would be loved. When you get those twinges in the second chakra, you've fallen into your unhealthy mapping, as I call it. And frankly, sweetie, you'll be like a dog chasing its tail. You'll go to your heart. You'll fall into the human emotions. You'll rise above and go to your heart. You'll fall into the human emotions. And every time you fall into those emotions, you find yourself compromised even more. In that second chakra, when your lower back, and specifically it feels like your left hip, becomes uncomfortable. I'm not sure what that means, because it's not as bad right at this moment as I'm touching you as sometimes it gets in that lower back and that hip area. What your soul is saying, I'm sorry, I have no room on this hip to carry anyone. So anytime you feel it in your lower back, you feel it in your second chakra. Anytime you get bloating, anytime you get distress in the lower chakra, any kind of cramping, any kind of discomfort in that area, you've just fallen into a personality that you're not.
Okay.
And when you do, that person has unrealistic expectations of what is required of you in order for you to be loved. It's theirs. And interesting enough, there's a parallel that is also happening at work that is a different situation that has the same energy associated with it. You're a green personality. You're a heart being. Your job is to be a cheerleader, not a caretaker.
All right, I'm getting my sticky notes out. I'm going to plaster them all over.
Good girl. I'll tell you what, there's nothing better. And, you know, get those little sticky notes that are all different colors. And just put them on all different colors, because literally what that does when you see it, it changes the energy of the chakras to be able to lighten you up and put you in harmony.
Oh, beautiful.
So just
thank you, Carol.
All over everywhere. You are most welcome, my love. All right. Well, you know what? We are going to take a very quick commercial break. So I think what we're going to do is we'll do that. And then I've got a couple more callers. Let's come back and let's end the show, taking more calls. I'll be right back.
If you have a question for Carol, call her now, toll free at 1-877-230-3062.
How would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
ContactTalkRadio.com.
Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true. You can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest. You can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you, so next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show for the host and for others.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
Welcome back, and thanks for joining me. I'm your host, medical intuitive Carol Reitberger, and today is my Conversations with Carol show. And if you've been listening, I'm taking calls. That's the fun part of what I do. I love to share the information, but taking calls, so I still have some callers on the line. And but if you want to call me, and I can try to squeeze you in, please understand that. It's 877-230-3062. And we're talking about all kinds of things, work, relationships, health, and so forth. So let me go ahead and jump right in. Let's do Jeannie from British Columbia. Hi, Jeannie. How can I help you, sweetie?
Hi, Carol. I'm happy to talk with you. Trying to make it a quick call here. I had some bug bites about 5 weeks ago, and I was concerned about Lyme disease, so I there's an antibody testing going on at this point, but I'm wondering if you can, well, I've had symptoms since then, headache and joint pain and nausea and nervous system things, and I'm wondering if you can pinpoint what's going on.
I can. There's a common denominator with what you're working with the Lyme tick from the standpoint of the enzyme that it basically the bites have injected in you from the standpoint that they thin the blood, and as a result, they have a contamination that is associated with Lyme disease.
Was it a tick bite, and is it Lyme disease?
No, I don't believe it is, sweetie. But I will tell you that, having said that, I'll tell you what I pick up that I think it is that I think that common denominator is that enzyme that was basically put into the bloodstream in order for whatever was feeding on you, and it felt like there were multiple things feeding on you that were feeding on you that literally thin the blood to the point where they'll be able to, you know, feed the way that they need to. But before I go into that, what I would like to say is I do believe that the antibiotic program that you're, you said you're going on it, correct?
No, my doctor's waiting for an antibody test. She's waiting for tests to come back. She hasn't decided to put me in anything yet. Would an antibiotic program be a good idea?
I do think it would. I do think it would. Now, there's a couple things. Antibiotic programs, when you take antibiotics, what they're going to do is they're going to change the pH of the balance. So you'll need to work with your digestive system, your gut, upper and lower part of the digestive system, mainly small intestine stuff, because it does change the pH. So it'll be important for you in your food combining to be sure that you have a lot of alkaline-based food and not just a lot of acidic foods. Antibiotics are very acidic in the makeup. The thing is that my sense is that if I were in your position, I would ask for that. Even if the tests do not come back completely clear, if the doctor is specifically looking for Lyme disease and then, or a Lyme bite and Lyme disease, and it's not there, what it feels to me is it almost feels like it's a fly. It was a combination. I don't think it's black fly, but it feels like it's a fly, almost a no-see-um. Is what we call them, where you can't really see them, that came in. And I think what it did is the combination. I can find multiple bites on your body where I can actually find where the skin was penetrated and where this particular enzyme was injected in it. And I think it just threw your immune system into a tailspin, frankly.
Okay. She's been testing for Epstein-Barr and West Nile disease as well.
Okay. Well, she's doing a great job of elimination. So, what she's doing is she's basically going in and taking it from an infectious disease perspective. And that's a very, prudent thing for her to do, so she can eliminate versus trying to find it. What she's doing is she's trying to eliminate what the potential part of it is. And what you'll find in that process is you'll find that it is not West Nile. It does not feel like it was mosquito bites, which are so part of the West Nile. The Epstein-Barr, though, I can tell you, hon, that you do have Epstein-Barr virus in your body. And my sense is that whatever triggered your immune system to become hypervigilant and overreactive, and as a result become weakened, has also, and what this is where her process of elimination will work well, what it's doing is it's seeing, do we have a dormant virus that as a result of this chemical change in the body and this suppression of the immune system, is this a virus-related issue of a virus that was laying dormant in a cell that had the perfect makeup, perfect storm, as I call it, that literally was able to cause that cell to explode and affect the cells around it? It sounds kind of like a sci-fi movie, but that's the way that Epstein-Barr virus survives. It isn't a living bacteria, so it cannot survive on its own. It hides in cells, and then when the perfect storm is, then it basically infects the cells around it. Those cells get in the bloodstream, and then it can go systemic and so forth with it. It does not feel like the West Nile, but I do pick up remnants of Epstein-Barr, and let's see if I can take you back. 12 years old. At 12 years old, did you get the flu or something, sweetie? Was there something that happened that you got really, really tired?
I don't remember.
Okay, I pick up at 12 years old that you actually had an episode where you were probably infected with the Epstein-Barr. If you feel like you had flu-like symptoms, in fact, some of the symptoms that you're experiencing now, other than the nervous system compromise or tingling that you're getting and everything, you had these symptoms before at 12 years old. And most likely that's when the Epstein-Barr virus actually became predominant in your body or entered your body and then has been lying there dormant. 24 years old, I pick up a cycle there. 37, 38, different cycles. I can pick up cycles where you either got, you were in a lot of emotional stress. There was a lot of stuff going on in your life, a lot of hormone changes at those different cycles. And I can pick up the predisposition for this virus to rear its head at those age times within you.
Okay.
So if you need to go back and remember what those are, you can listen in the archives. I'll have it posted on my website, most likely on Friday. And then you can listen to those ages and go back and look at where you were, what stresses you were under, what hormone changes you were going through and so forth. There's a connection somewhere there.
Yeah,
pardon me?
I can identify some right now, but
yeah,
that's good
yep.
to know. Yeah.
Yep. So, but the bites itself. So let's go on an alkaline diet.
All right.
Lots of fruits, lots of vegetables. Stay away from fruits that are acidic. There's a lot of good information. In fact, if you're inclined, you can go to ARE, Association of Research Enlightenment. You can click on, and you can find books and stuff there.
Okay, you said stay away from acidic fruit, like no lemon, no lime?
Actually, lemon and lime, even though they're citric acid, metabolizes alkaline. They're very, very healing, very purifying, very good. You will want to stay away from cranberries.
Okay.
Cranberries are acidic. Strawberries are acidic.
Okay.
So those are the types of things. But anyway, on ARE, you can do that. Raspberries,
okay.
Yep, all of those things. You just want to go in and find out what you can do with
good.
That. But my sense is that in the process of elimination, you're going to find out that you really don't have Lyme disease or some of the other things.
I'm happy about that.
Absolutely.
Okay, do the alkaline and do an course of antibiotics.
I would recommend that, yes.
Okay, and my doctor will know how long to go for.
Absolutely. Your doctor, very holistic person. Yes, very holistic person. One of the things that it picks up, since you are going to basically dialogue, it would be better if you're going to be able to really monitor the alkaline that you put in your body. You would be better off doing a very low dosage for a longer period of time than doing Zithromax or some of the other that they use that is basically a 5 to 7 day, let's go in and kill the daylights out of everything and get rid of it. You'd be better with a low-grade aspect of it so you could manage the results and the impact of that on the physical body. So just ask your doctor those questions.
Thank you so much, Carol.
You are most welcome. Thank you. Hi, Beth from Atlanta, Georgia. How are you today, sweetie? How can I help you? Hi, Beth.
Carol?
Yes.
Hello?
How are you, honey?
Oh, I'm good. How are you?
Good, thanks. You're back, huh?
I am. I talked to you several years ago, and I was going through a divorce or contemplating a divorce at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm now divorced, and I just wondered what you could see now.
Well, let me tell you, about 7 months ago, you turned on your light that you're available in the field.
Oh, it's not much of a beacon.
I don't care. It doesn't take much of a beacon to be able to do that. But I can tell you, and what that says to me is that you've reached a place where you've gone through, and I always say to someone, it's kind of like you licked your wounds, and it's like, okay, I'm okay through that part of it. And then you started, you know, finding, well, you know, I really can do a lot of this on my own. And then you start getting more courage, and then you start the growing. And then lo and behold, somewhere along the line, you turned on this light, like I said, about 7 months ago, that, you know, I'm kind of curious. It's not that you, you know, it feels like you're looking for a dinner date, honey. Is that that's what it looks forward to?
Yes.
You know, this part of growing somebody else up and having to put up with that. You're not to that light yet, sweetie.
Oh, no. Been there, done that. And I'm not ready to go back.
Not at all, you know. But a dinner date would be very, very nice. So one of the things to do is just to be open and receptive, but also use your intuition. Remember all the things that you don't want. Start writing all the things that you do want in a person that's going to be a friend. That's all you're looking for, that's going to be a friend. What qualities do they need to have? There's certain things that I feel that are absolute cast in concrete with you that they will not do. And if they do, use your intuition. And then, you know, it's like, next, move on. Next, move on. But heighten your awareness to this particular aspect of where you are, because what you're doing is you're calling new opportunities, new situations, new experiences into your life, so you can really see how far you've come. And you have come so far. I mean, you know, I need to tell you, touching you, that was a huge leap of faith for you to step out of that, because not only was it the relationship, you stepped out of your identity with the conditioning around having to have someone in your life to be okay. This was huge. It was huge.
Yeah.
And if you can, you know, look back and go, well, I'll be darned. I just look at what I've done. And you can look at that. Then what you can do is use those parameters to decide who you're going to let in your life when your instinct tells you that this person might be a fun dinner date, but there's not something that matches. You know, it just doesn't feel right. You know, honey, there's nothing wrong with canceling a dinner date.
Okay.
There's nothing wrong with letting a person, you know, just go by the way. The other thing is, I don't know what you've done in the last year, but I will tell you, you are on fast track spiritual growth. Oh, my gosh. You know, if you were in San Francisco, you and I would be standing in the Bank of America building, and we would go from the first floor to the 94th floor. I think that's how far, 64th floor, big floor. And that goes in seconds. You are on a spiritual fast track. What this will do is this will attract people to you that will be of like-minded. The uniqueness is, I feel like there will be a male that will come into your life that will be like-minded. Use your instincts to know whether this is a dinner date or not.
Okay.
Very good. Wow. Good job. Wow.
Thank you.
You may think it takes you a long time to get to a place to make a decision, and that may very well be true from the perception, but man, once you make that decision, whew, I'm not going to stand in your way.
Thank you, Carol. I appreciate it so much. Last time you told me that my throat chakra was blocked, and
not
that
now.
I couldn't. Not now. Yay. Okay.
Your throat chakra isn't blocked, and your backbone is strong, and you are loaded for dynamite. You are ready to go in this life. You know, bring it on.
Thank you so much for your validation. I just really appreciate it. I appreciate you. I appreciate your show and everything you do. Thank you so much.
Thank you. My pleasure. You know, this is the joy of doing the conversations with Carol, is to be able to chat with all of you and, you know, just kind of like friends, just sitting around and just chatting and so forth. I hope that what I share with you has great value, but I would like to also tell you that what you share with me has great value in my personal learning. So thank you so much for helping me refine and becoming better at who I am. It's a mutual admiration society. Lots of love to all of you. Have a wonderful week. I'm going to be back next Wednesday at 10 o'clock a.m. Pacific Daylight Time. Light and love to you, and I'll see you on the radio.
You've been listening to the Carol Rideberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.rideberger.com. That's www.rideberger.com. See you soon.